I'm Vermont Edition producer Matthew Smith, and I wanted to let you know the podcast you're about to listen to has been edited for clarity and brevity, so we saved you some time to get right to the good stuff. Enjoy.
Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Connor Cyrus. In 1974, a short order chef named Sonny Monroe and his wife, Mary Lou, bought a scrappy little diner in Bennington. They transformed it into a local landmark, a place where their community could come together over good food and hot coffee. The story of the Blue Bend Diner is now preserved in a new coffee table book by Caitlin Randall and Peter Crabtree of North Bennington. They're the co-founders of the Story Project, which creates books on commission. My co-host, Mikhail Lafrec, recently spoke to them about the book, Sunny's Blue Bend, Feeding the Soul of a Vermont Town. Let's take a listen.
Peter and Caitlin, welcome to Vermont Edition.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
So first, this is such a beautiful book. It's both a history book and a photo book as well, with so many beautiful pictures of the diner. Since this is airing on the radio, I'm wondering if one of you could describe what the Blue Bend Diner looks like for our audience.
It was manufactured in 48, so it's seen a lot of use. The worn yellow counter, rimmed with stainless steel and chrome, blue booths, maybe six booths, blue and gray counter stools.
The countertop is worn down by people putting their elbows on it, which I always like that visual. And there's the stools, the chrome stools with the naugahyde tops, spin around. And sometimes you'll see kids spinning in 360 degree circles on them, and it's really a charming place.
And I did some back of the napkin calculations myself, and figured that it's a really small place. It's only about 1,000 square feet, not big for tables and a counter and a whole kitchen.
Yeah. No, it's very intimate. Yeah. I think it seats 44. Mm-hmm. Caitlin reported, and has had as many as 16 staff. So one of the themes of the book is that it's a community meeting place, and you can't help but sort of engage in conversations because you're so cheek to jowl.
Really, particularly at the counter. And the kitchen is also a tiny kitchen, really.
Well, as you mentioned, you include in this book the stories of lots of different folks who cared about the Blue Bend Diner, staff as well as their many regular customers. But there's really one couple at the heart of this book, Sonny and Mary Lou Monroe. Could you tell us about them?
Yes. Sonny was a North Bennington native. Mary Lou grew up in the Albany area. And the story is, I think Sonny was 19, Mary Lou was 17. They met at a roller rink. And within a year or two, were married. Soon after that, had their only child, their daughter Lisa, who helped manage the restaurant, grew up in the diner, actually. And Sonny was a short order cook at another restaurant in town, jumped to the Blue Bend, and maybe within 18 months, leased it. And that is, the story of him leasing it is very telling, I think.
Actually, I start the book with that. He came home on Christmas Eve and told Mary Lou and his daughter Lisa, who was 10 at the time, that they were gonna buy the diner. It was now theirs. And Mary Lou was first a little shocked and then surprisingly calm, but Lisa, here she is waiting for Santa Claus, and she gets this news. And he said, we've got to go back to the diner and start cleaning. And they went back on Christmas Eve and started scrubbing it down, which is such an indication of how those two worked. I mean, they were just have an extraordinary work ethic.
And that was 1974.
Yeah, that was in 1974.
And Sonny, was the cook and pretty much remained behind the scenes in the kitchen, and Mary Lou ran the front of the house and was a very warm presence, but was also the taskmaster who, the waitresses tell lots of stories about Mary Lou keeping them in line and also protecting them against abusive customers. So Mary Lou ran things with a firm but compassionate hand.
Well, and the waitresses really did love the two of them. The staff is really an extraordinary story in and of itself. The waitresses are just so loyal. I mean, they were working, the average tenure there was 25 to 30 years. That's how long people stayed at the Ben. Oh. It was really kind of remarkable. And to a large extent, it's because Sonny and Mary Lou treated them very well, and they loved being there.
They said they were paid better than other waitresses in town, and in addition, had sick days, paid vacation, Christmas bonuses, which is unusual in the restaurant industry.
Yeah, especially in those days.
Well, we are talking about a diner here, so I don't want to wait too long until we talk about food. Can you describe some of the food that served at the diner? And I should also note before I let you answer that the book starts with a photograph of one of the menus from the Blue Ben, and some of the items on it is your classic diner fare, two eggs with home fries, French toast, pancakes. But there's also some mention in the book of some other specials that they had and the kind of unique way that Sonny would advertise those specials inside the diner itself.
Well, I spoke with a diner historian by the name of Richard Gutman, and he talked about how Sonny and Mary Lou really understood their clientele. They understood the price point. They understood that this wasn't a wealthy community and that they had to keep the prices low, but they also understood that they had to kind of be a little chameleon in their approach to the recipes and their approach to the menu. In that they, you know, they change with the times. One of the things that the diner did was bring in a lot of Bennington College students because Sonny decided to go vegetarian on some of his plates, and he brought in all kinds of almost hippie cooking and really interesting different kinds of recipes. I think some of the favorites were the shrimp quesadillas, of course, the crunchberry pancakes. I don't know if
you're nut burgers.
Yeah, and this was his secret recipe. It took him about 2 years to develop this. He, you know, he was one of the people that we interviewed, one of the many regulars, said that Sonny was like an artist in his studio. You know, he just loved to be in back in the kitchen, developing different kinds of recipes and thinking of new angles and what would appeal to the community and what would appeal to both out of towners and Benningtonians.
Well, speaking of appealing to the community, one of my favorite tidbits from the book was a newspaper clipping that you include from the Bennington Banner in 1990 about the diner's decision to go smoke-free. And there were some pretty heated quotes from people saying, you know, I'm not coming back here because the diner, you know, stopped allowing smokers indoors. I thought that was such a sign of the times.
Yeah, that Sonny was 5 years ahead of the statewide ban. And we had a friend of Sonny's, nod both to the vegetarian dishes Sonny developed and that smoking ban as a reflection of his health consciousness. And while he lost some customers, Mary Lou told us that it was a net gain, that they gained many more customers than they lost.
Let's talk for a moment about the culture of regulars at the Blue Ben. You include some really powerful profiles of people who would go there some every single day. A couple I saw went twice a day sometimes. But in particular, there was a core group that would go early in the morning, 6 a.m. for breakfast. Could you tell us about them?
What's really interesting is about that group is that they were so diverse in a way. There was an artist there, was a professor who had been a professor at Bennington College. There was a road superintendent. Their politics were completely opposite each other, and yet they got to be very good friends in that morning group. And they would show up, and the waitresses all knew them, and they would, as I say in the book, they didn't even have to really put in an order. The waitresses knew what they wanted. They'd bring them out and they'd tease each other about what they were eating and jostle each other a little bit about politics, but there was a line that they knew they could never cross. The Ben was kind of a leveler in a sense. It created a kind of egalitarian environment, if I can put it that way. you walk through the doors of the Bend and everybody kind of dropped all their socioeconomic differences, their political differences, and they just really enjoyed being in a community hangout. And it really fostered this great sense of citizenry within Bennington. And that to me was the legacy of the diner.
Well, we've been using a lot of past tense when describing the diner, but what is its status now? And in particular, how did it do during COVID?
Well, it shut down with the other restaurants in the state in March of 2020. And when the governor allowed restaurants to reopen, I think in June of that year, Mary Lou, Sonny's widow, decided she wasn't going to reopen. At that point, she was 77. Sonny had died a year before, and I think she admits to being exhausted. And so she put the restaurant up for sale. And in short order, a Bennington College graduate who frequented the Bend in the mid-80s decided he was going to buy it.
He'd been a fan for decades, since he was actually his first day at Bennington College. So when he bought it, he told me that his mission was to keep the Bend as much the same as possible and kind of honor Sonny's legacy.
Yeah, he sees himself as a caretaker.
He does. He sees himself as a caretaker.
Well, there, like I've mentioned, there are so many great little moments and stories held within this book. One of my other favorites was reading about Sonny and Mary Lou's daughter, Lisa, who worked at the diner for years and got engaged right at the counter.
She said it's not true that he put the ring in an omelet or in a muffin or whatever, the town lore. There was a lot of town lore about that engagement. But
she did say the diner erupted in applause.
When she said yes, the entire diner erupted in applause. She was really frank. She said to me that the diner was kind of a sibling that grabbed all the attention in her life and that she had a love-hate relationship with it. She would go to school, she said, smelling of bacon, fat, and smoke. And, that was just, it really irritated her. But at the same time, she loved what her parents had created. And she loved the diner.
Yeah, doing homework at the counter, having birthday parties at the diner.
Mm-hmm.
It was consuming, all consuming.
Yeah.
What has the response been about your book from the folks who are in it, from this tight-knit community around the Blue Bend Diner?
Well, our primary audience really always was Mary Lou Monroe and Lisa. And Mary Lou has been very grateful, thinks we did her husband proud.
Someone said to you, I think to Peter, I think that I thought there was going to be more food in it. And then he said, but I got reading it and I thought, well, actually, this is a great picture of the community, which is sort of what we were trying to do.
Well, Peter Crabtree and Caitlin Randall, thank you both so much for coming on Vermont Edition and for telling us about your new book.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for having us.